Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mind Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and I look after the mindfulness program here at Hope.
Hello, my name is Simon Mott. I'm the founder of Hope Rehab.
So today, Simon, what I would like to talk about is the state of the recovery community here in Thailand. Would you say it's a strong community?
In certain areas of Thailand, it's most definitely a strong community, yes.
And what makes it strong?
Well, I think as time goes by, more and more there's more and more additions to the community. So, because of the growth in rehabs based in Thailand, a lot of the clients who come decide to stay on and live here, certainly for a year or two.
But what was the community like when you first came here? How long are you here?
Well, I'm here 7 years now.
And what was it like when you first came?
Well, it was there was always a recovery community here, but for the last 20 years, I would say, expats coming with their recoveries and starting meetings, or they're interested in Buddhism and mindfulness and have got things going. But of course, it was quite limited, and it was limited to a certain demographic, a retired person, you could say, an older person.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I noticed, because I mean, I came here about 15 years ago, and you know, I think there was a rehab here then, but I think it was quite expensive, like a Western rehab. But I think there was just one. But I mean, for me, it was like turning up at temples and stuff like that, and that's what, you know, it seemed to be a lot of people were doing that, that originally sort of drove people. So I think you're right, it was this sort of, and it's probably around the same time that Thailand was sort of attracting the backpackers, that kind of people like trying to do things on a shoestring.
I think, you know, there's a lot of people attracted to Thailand, not just because it's, you know, relatively cheap to live and they can stretch their money, but especially those people who have had a crisis in their life of some type, which often brings about a spiritual bankruptcy, you know, feeling a bit lost and questioning what's their life about. And so, you know, Thailand, of course, is the natural place to go for a spiritual journey, enlightenment, you know, in search of meaning and purpose. So it's always attracted people for that, like Tibet would or Nepal would, you know, in similar way.
And, you know, what's here in Thailand that's not actually in the West?
Well, of course, in many parts of the West, you know, it's weather. Weather's a huge attraction. It certainly was for me. But I think there's a lot more. I think lower stress. We perceive it as a lower stress lifestyle.
And why would that be important to somebody who's trying to break free of addiction?
Well, of course, stress is a huge factor in triggering people's, you know, addiction, and you know, why people self-medicate. So the Western stress is so, you know, is a lot of pressure, you know, to earn money, to look good, to all these various factors that bring about depression.
And so having a break from that in early recovery is going to be an advantage?
I would say so, for sure. A break from that. People do find ways to break from that at home, but it's, of course, easier to do here. And you can reinvent yourself here, you know.
But what would you say to the argument? I mean, some people might say, well, you know, okay, you come to this kind of much, you know, far less stressful environment, and you recover. But what happens when you have to go back to that stressful environment again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, most people inevitably will have to return home. Not everyone. I mean, I don't plan to. But, you know, most people do. But, I mean, the idea is that by the time they go home, they're ready. They're ready, you know, to embrace, you know, maybe a career and family and so on. But of course, they've learnt some coping skills, you know, and they're kind of like a different person. Some go home and then they do an about turn and come back again if they've got the resources, you know.
I suppose like where we're going with this, is it sort of the theme of the podcast, is this whole idea of a community and the importance of a community. Yeah. And, you know, would you say that that's something that's especially important in early recovery?
Historically, community is a fundamental, you know, core component of recovery. I mean, mainly born out of the AA, you know, approach, you know, that we're a fellowship. But that's no accident, you know. Whether you are attached to... Well, what I've noticed is alternatives to NA and AA springing up, but they're all founded in communities. You know, there's the sort of refuge recovery, mindfulness-based, Buddhist philosophy-based, but that's also groups and communities.
So would you say then that the recovery is almost more important than the program?
I think so. I think, you know, it depends what you mean by program. Of course, a program of some kind, some guides to life. But I suppose, you know, off the top of my head, community is probably more important than all of it, because it's when we're in a community that we can thrive, and also our addiction can be reduced in terms of its strength, you know.
Yeah. Because it's the one thing I would say that's the real strength here at Hope is the community.
Yeah.
And I think you can sort of see that in the fact that people, you know, people come here for a month and they end up staying for 3 or 4, you know, they kind of don't want to leave it.
That's a good point. Mm. I think that tells us everything, you know. They feel safe in the community. They feel belonging. This confidence and self-esteem goes up because they're useful, they're clean, they're constructive, and yeah, so many people stay 2, 3, 4, 5 months because they obviously instinctively realise that that's what recovery is about, being part of something, you know.
And was that something, so when you created Hope, now it's over 3 years ago, isn't it, but was that something that you thought about, how to create a strong community?
I think it was, yeah. You know, there were a few things that I took into consideration. But certainly, community is very important. So, you know, our boundaries and our program structured around working together with each other. But also physically, Hope is a great community. You know, we've got a very large piece of land and we've done a lot of developing and building, but we build sensitively and we've made it like a little sort of village. Yeah. I call it Hope Village, you know. So it resembles a bit of a village, you know. And then there's the way we work together, the clients and the team. We're all on a par, on a level. We're all equal here and we are all very close.
You understand important?
I think it's very important. It's particularly important for the efficiency of the treatment. So I think a punitive or an authoritarian approach doesn't work quite as well as if you feel you're, you know, not maybe friend shouldn't, isn't the right term, but...
Friendly.
Like less threatened.
One of the things we used to sort of say in nursing was, you know, friendly but not necessarily like friends.
Yeah. Something like that. So that's certainly how I relate to people here. Obviously, I have this position of the sort of daddy, if you like, and I have to pull that out sometimes, you know, and say, you know, if someone's, you know, causing disruption, you know, but I don't, as a rule, go around with that hat on. You know, as a rule, I just relate to them. We're all the same, really, you know, especially when it comes to addiction.
One thing that amazed me that was recently... was that staff photograph, how many people there actually are now here, like that, you know, the staff are kind of way, like there's far more staff than there is clients.
Yes.
And how important is that?
Well, I think that's one of my deliberate, you know, one of my deliberate policies is to have a lot of staff. And the way I structure it is, of course, there's a senior staff who are responsible for the sort of... The teaching, if you like, or the therapeutic groups and counselling. But then we go down levels to more junior staff and volunteers, and they're closer to the clients, you know, in terms of recovery, because they spend more time with them, perhaps informally, but also they're quite newly recovered themselves, so they're very, you know, and it works really well that way, the hierarchy, if you like. So I have a lot of people. I'm very welcoming to anyone who wants to come here, do voluntary work, or take on a modest job here, salary. I think safety in numbers, you know, strength in community.
I mean, it was something I was going to ask you later, but seeing as we're talking about it, I mean, why do people want to come work in Thailand?
Well, I do get a lot of inquiries for that, applications, get about two or three a day. Yeah, so a lot of people, I mean, I don't blame them. You know, it's an adventure, it's exciting. I mean, most of our inquiries have sought out Hope because we've now got a reputation as being, we're actually an intensive program, you know, and quite a sophisticated program. We've brought in a lot of contemporary therapeutic methods and approaches. So it's a wonderful learning opportunity for anyone. Remember, if there are people out there and they either, you know, they've learned particular therapeutic methods or particular skills, they're working in a particular sector, they want to broaden their experience and knowledge, coming here you get exposed to so many different approaches, because I will welcome anyone. Let's say someone comes here and they're a DBT specialist.
What's a DBT? Dialectic behavioral.
Yes, dialectic behavioral therapy. It's kind of mindfulness and CBT together. I've got someone who's an expert, and so they've brought more of that into. And then there's someone ACT, acceptance commitment therapy, yeah. And so he's bringing more of that into it. And so we're developing our workbook, we're developing our program, bringing in new, very useful tools. I really love some of these tools.
So would you say the quality of the applicants then is quite high?
Not always, no, but they don't get accepted.
But I mean, you've no shortage of highly skilled people.
Well, what I'm looking for is not necessarily highly skilled. What I'm looking for is a high level of commitment, a passion about the work, enthusiasm, and they're coming to Thailand. In fact, when they come, they sink themselves into Hope, and it's not like a working holiday. I said, don't come if you want a working holiday. If you want, you know, work fine, but not a working holiday, because working holiday, you can imagine someone just wanting to do a little bit of work and go off having fun. That's not what happens here. So the people who come are of a high standard.
I had a conversation with a client recently and started to do with this. I mean, what would your attitude be towards somebody, you know, with a history of addiction that has in the past had a poor work record? That they were, you know, during the years of their addiction, they may not have had that great a work record. Is that someone you'd be willing to give a chance to? I mean, if they were otherwise qualified.
Well, I mean, it's amazing what happens for people when they get into recovery, and they become really useful members of society. And of course, addiction will take anyone out. Doesn't matter, you know, who they are and what they've achieved in their past. So no, I don't judge people on their histories particularly. I judge them more on their, you know, what they're doing now and what their interests are. We have had people come here and they're not up to scratch because we're a 24/7 operation. Yeah, our clients are with us, they live with us, and so, you know, we have to look out for them the whole time. So you know, yeah, it's not a part-time job.
So let's expand this a bit then. What's your impression of the recovery community here in Thailand generally?
Well, I mean, I've contributed personally to the community in both here and where I worked previously. You know, you generate sort of all these new recovering people, and they want to stay. A lot of them want to stay in Thailand and do, you know, teaching or something, volunteering.
Is that something you'd encourage or discourage?
Well, it depends who they are. We only encourage it if someone's completed treatment, they've done well, and they're highly committed, and they're following a program, and they're focused. We wouldn't just say, you know, oh, after treatment, go travelling in Thailand. No. We discourage that. It's straight into a recovery lifestyle, which involves discipline and structure. So, you know, in that respect, we do. But they do contribute, and people go to meetings, they open new meetings, they get into the meditation, they do volunteering work, and it's beautiful, the transition. And
is there much communication, say, between you and the other rehabs and other facilities?
Well, I wish there were more, to be frank. Unfortunately, I mean, I suppose, you know, the only reason we're all here in Thailand is because it's a free market, right? And we're able to come here and set up and start. And there are licenses and things and bureaucracy we go through. But essentially, we're private rehabs. And that's brought in some businessmen, which has made it, they don't quite understand the importance. From my perspective, I think we should all work together. We should have an association. Now, on that topic, I am a member. I'm accredited and a member of the wider Asian community, based in Singapore. there's an accreditation body, and they are actually very interested in HOPE. I'm a member of them. They're coming here next month, the president, to visit. They want to use our model, really. They're aware of our... We're actually the number one performing rehab in Thailand in many respects, whether it be outcomes, occupancy, etc., extensions. So people are interested in HOPE. I get a lot of the other rehabs contact me for advice and help.
And is that something that you see maybe in the future, hopefully, that it will increase, that there will be more cooperation and more joint efforts? Because I know a personal thing for you is that you would like to really help people of Thailand.
That's right. And I think if we were more unified and took the competitive side out of it, we would be... able to work efficiently together and really benefit Thailand, like start a fund and so on. There's so much we could do. But like I say, there's some business heads involved and they're not interested. If anything, they're interested in destroying smaller businesses and so on. It's quite a sad situation.
I also know that sort of people who are thinking of opening rehabs tend to approach you or get in contact with you. And I know you've had people here.
Yeah.
Is it something you would recommend people do, open their own rehab?
Well, in the past, I've been very welcoming. And I have given out free advice and encouragement. It's a bit like looking for a restaurant in town. You want to go somewhere where there's lots of restaurants because you have more choice and so on. But I guess I need to be responsible about who I encourage to do it because, it's a profession and it needs to be done properly with, a responsible attitude. And there are a couple of people I wish weren't, not just anyone can come and open a rehab, but as they are finding, because it's resource intensive, very expensive, a very difficult thing to run. And believe me, if something terrible doesn't happen and take you out, then the clients will just stop coming. And that's what's happened to a couple of them. They don't provide a good enough service. They hear about somewhere like HOPE that's so good. We have a wonderful reputation. And then, of course, without clients, you haven't got a rehab. So some of these people have come and gone. Some have got like two clients and things like that. And they're just... on one hand, yes, it's great that people in recovery want to help other people, but not to try and do something, without being properly prepared and resourced.
And I suppose that's it. I mean, just because even if you yourself maybe have a very strong recovery and a great message or all of that, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good at running a rehab, does it?
Absolutely not. I mean, I happen to be talented at it. I've got a hard-nosed or hardcore approach towards certain issues, and other issues I'm more gentle with, but I seem to get the balance right.
And is that because you've worked as a manager?
I think it's innate in me to some degree, but yes, of course, I've managed rehabs, I've managed services. I've got a history. I have a history that says, yeah, this person's competent. Going into it without a history, is naive, and it doesn't work.
And, it's obviously a probably expensive thing to do now, is it, opening a rehab in Thailand?
Well, it's very expensive and getting more expensive. When I started, I managed to, start on with relatively a small amount of money because I had people coming to me quite quickly, immediately. But now, if you were to look at my books, our running costs are enormous. I have 45 staff, the marketing, and so on, and the rents and so on. So, but we have 25 to 30 clients at one time paying for all of that. So it's a huge, one-man bands, start with a
cheap... That's what I was going to ask you. Is there still room for that?
Well, you'd think so. You'd think there'd be room for, a very low cost, modest centre house with three or four beds or something. But it's very difficult. You have to have all the components there to look after people, which, means you do need a team. And you need the resources, which means you need the clients paying for it. So it's difficult to open a very small rehab. I've seen them come and go quite quickly.
And have you started, like, sort of saying that if someone has asked you about opening a rehab, I mean, has there been times when you said, look, you know, you're probably better off not doing it for that particular person?
Well, I haven't, but I think, you know, I'm prepared to say that to the right person. But the last couple of people who spoke to me, I suggested they look at a niche market. Mm. So, you know, they go for a particular demographic and focus on them. A specialist area, mm. you know, because there's probably too many, you know, too many beds now in Thailand. There's probably 300 beds.
There's a lot of primary stuff, isn't there?
There's a lot of primary stuff, yeah.
And what would you say about the aftercare community? Is that somewhere that Thailand could do better?
Well, I think there's some wonderful options here already. New Life is a good option. It's a community-based mm. project. Obviously, it's very much secondary, or it's not really treatment centre, yeah. But it's certainly somewhere to go after you've done 2 or 3 months at Hope and anywhere else. I'd like to see a few more second-stage houses. Obviously, there's the one in Bang Sarai. I think...
And would that be the way to go, more the communities or more like the sober house, would you say?
I'd like to see sober houses functioning well here. They're quite difficult to organise because for a sober house you need to have activities for the clients to participate in, like voluntary work, jobs and teaching, and that takes quite a lot of organising. So it's not that simple to... It's not just about having somewhere to stay and go to a meeting. You know, there's so much more to it than that.
Mm. Well, that's great, Simon. Thank you very much. Is there anything more you feel that needs to be said in regards to the recovery communities here in Thailand?
Well, I just repeat what I've said already. You know, I'd like to... I will approach the rest of the rehabs shortly and ask them, you know, if we could all set up a fund, a foundation, an organisation that brings us all together and maybe have regular meetings, and we should be giving back to Thailand. I mean, I do obviously, and I do training, free yeah. training and so on, but really I think if we all got together it'd be so much, it would really help Thailand, and they want the help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Simon. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.